at our banquet. Really looking forward to our National President's banquet speech. However, I want to up first call on Minister LaRon Carter to do our invocation for this evening. If LaRon, if you are unmuted, please take it away.
Amen. Thank you, President Brown. May we all take a moment to bow our heads so that we can pray. Dear Father God, we bow before thee in humble submission. It's me again, dear Lord, and I've got my brothers and sisters here with us. We come to you, dear Heavenly Father, saying thank you. Thank you for allowing us to convene and to get together and even make it to this day. We thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that you continue to teach us and lead us and show us how to be submissive and willing to follow according to your purpose and your direction. Dear Heavenly Father, at this hour, we also just want to say thank you for choosing us. For that we are your chosen ones. For you say that we are to walk by faith and not by sight, and we don't have much of a choice. And so we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for choosing us. Now we ask that we all take the strength, dear Heavenly Father, and the camaraderie and the spirit of this convention and this federation, and continue on, dear Heavenly Father, wherever it is that you would lead us, according to the side roads, the back roads, the highways and byways, according to your will, your purpose, and your direction. We want to ask for prayer for all of our leadership, for President Brown and his wife, and the state board, and all of our chapter presidents and board members, all the way down to the newest member that just joined, the Heavenly Father, to our national leadership, the Heavenly Father, and all the affiliates across the country and abroad. We just want to ask for prayer for peace for our country, for all of our leadership, and we just want to ask that you can show us how to be more loving, more willing to follow thee and be examples of thee, the Heavenly Father. For you and the Heavenly Father, teach us how to continue looking forward to where it is that you would have us to go. For you tell us that a man that does not keep his head forward is not fit to plow the field. And Heavenly Father, just want to thank you for everything that you have, you are, and that you will do in our life. And at this hour, before I close, just want to ask for a blessing upon the meal that anyone will be happen to receive this evening. And we ask that you bless that food for the strengthening, the nourishment of our minds, our bodies, our souls, and our spirits. And we thank you. And we ask that you may give us this privilege to meet again. In the sweet name of Jesus, we most humbly pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Excellent. All right. Everybody had a good banquet meal, I presume, and I know I did. My wife ordered me Outback Steakhouse, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm like President Riccobono. I'm waiting to eat my pie after the banquet, so there you go. So without further ado, I am going to introduce the Master of Ceremonies tonight. He's an up-and-coming emerging leader in our organization. Been around a few years, but has contributed a lot in the last few years, and it grills me great honor and privilege to introduce the Master of Ceremonies. Here is Christopher Meyer.
She grew up in an Indiana town, had a good looking mama who never was around, but she grew up tall and she grew up right with them Indiana boys on an Indiana night.
Wow. I love the songs. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. I think that was Tom Petty, Last Dance with Mary Jane. Beautiful. Well, good night or good evening, everyone, and welcome to this NFB and Indiana 2020 banquet. And yeah, excited to be with you guys. Let's kick it off with a door prize if we can. Could we get that going, Micah?
Yeah, we sure can. Let's kick it off with a $50 door prize. We are going to be patient while the internet takes a while to generate a number for me. Okay, so we are going to give that to Haley Spencer. Haley, you've got 30 minutes to raise your hand, text me or call me. I find this quite ironic. This is my wife, so I would hope that she's here, but we happen to not be in the same place right now. So,
do you need a? I was gonna say, I don't think she needs her contact info.
No, she doesn't need my contact, but I'm hoping that she's listening and she follows all the procedures that everybody else does. So, 30 minutes.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll wait around. We'll see if she's here. That's great. Well, way to get this started, Micah. Thank you so much. It has been an incredible convention for all of us, I hope. I know it has been for me. Everything that we've learned so far is going to be stuck in my head for the next couple weeks as I try to figure out what do I do now in the Federation. I know that I know that one thing I already look forward to is reaching out to our senators here in Indiana and getting us signed up for the ATAA. I know that we learned a lot about parents' rights, and we listened through some real heartbreaking stories, but also heard where the Federation is working with us to fight for our rights. There's so much that we've been able to learn so far. I hope everybody's really having a good time out there. So let's see here. How about I wanted to do a little Q&A. I thought we could, or a little little game. Went, throw out a question or two. See if how well we know our Indiana history here in the Indiana affiliate. Should we start out with that, or should we jump to anything else? I think we can go ahead with it.
I think like that's appropriate. Yeah, let's
Do it. Haley's hand is up, by the way.
Oh, Haley? Haley's got her hand up.
Haley has her hand raised.
All right, good on her.
And she did that before a half an hour was up.
Wow. That's the way to jump on it, Haley.
That's right.
I trained her well.
Go, Chris.
All right. So, yeah, let's see here. First question for us is what year was the affiliate here in Indiana founded? Does anyone have a guess?
Oh, Mr.
Tyler's hand is up.
Go for it, Tyler.
1946.
That is about as right as you could be. It's a half right. That was the year that we first wrote letters to then NFB President Tenbrook.
Alex Gilliland's hand is raised.
All right, go for it, Alex. Alex, you there?
He's still muted. I've clicked on the unmute.
Hold on.
There you go.
Sounds like him there.
Was that you?
Oh, he's still muted.
All right. Well, we can answer this one. unless we had anyone else.
Mr. Brown.
Tony's hand is up. Tony Schnurr's hand.
1954.
That's right. Tony Schnurr. Very good. Very good.
Excellent, Tony.
All right. So, let's try one now with a little bit more on the line. Let's go for, how many state, this is a little bit more national level, but how many states were, and we heard this earlier today, I believe. Anyway, how many states were in the original charter for the NFB nationwide?
Study skills, whoever that is, their hand is up.
Oh, study skills. That's a good one. Let's see if they've got study skills for this.
That's my Zoom when I log in to do my instruction. This is Paul Howard, 7.
All right, Paul. That's right. There we go. Let's give him a door prize for that one.
We can do that.
All right.
Let's Paul Howard registered for our convention. So you will be getting a card in the mail, sir.
Very good. Very good.
We have a raised hand from the national president of parents division. Oh, Carlton, she just lowered her hand. That's okay.
Okay. Well, I'm counting on you guys to watch those lowered and raised hands because I am hearing them come and go. All right. That's well, nice. I guess should we, I think we're going to start out with, leading with our, national president. I think that we've got our really incredible banquet presentation ready for you guys for tonight. We've got, President Riccobono, the mouthpiece of our organization, the man who started as director of the Jernigan Institute, brought, after running a state affiliate in Wisconsin, the driver of the blind driver challenge car and many more, but we're really excited for him to speak to us tonight. Let's all raise our glass or give a toast to President Mark Riccobono.
Very nice, very nice. Classic, as a matter of fact. You know, can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you know, It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the introduction. You know, Dr. Tenbruck, our first president, is often quoted as saying, in the words of the cow on a cold morning, thank you for the warm hand. I'm here at the national office. I've actually switched from where I was earlier today. I am in the newly renovated space. I am in what we call our foyer. Across from where I'm sitting is a piece of art that is entitled Reflecting the Flame. And it is in honor of Mark Maurer and his leadership of this organization. And it has Braille lines of a speech that he gave in 1991 called Reflecting the Flame. Behind me over my right shoulder is a beautiful fireplace that does have a fire in it right now. It's just me and the fire, so there's no one to be socially distanced from. And to my left is our logo on the wall, a mosaic that was done by a deafblind artist. And behind me is our Diane and Ray McGeorge living room. If you haven't yet had the opportunity to come be in our new space, I can't wait till you can be here to do that. It's a beautiful, beautiful space. It speaks to both our past and our future, and it's meant to be a gathering space for the present. So I can't wait till you can be here. Before I start, though, I'm going to mute my JAWS announcements. I apologize. I did not do that. All right. So I'm sitting here by the fireplace, and it's a pleasure to talk to you about the nature of our organization. And I was sitting here thinking about Dr. Jernigan, who was our second great longtime leader. We're just a day or so away from the 22nd year since his passing. And the fireplace behind me here has a beautiful blue field stone surrounding it, which came from Dr. Jernigan's house. And so it's easy to come to this banquet and think about where we've been and the relationships that have had fueled this organization. So I think that's what I want to talk to you about this evening. You know, Aristotle is quoted as saying that for the things we have to learn before we can do them, we learn by doing them. And that's the nature of what I've learned in the National Federation of the Blind. You know, some people believe that mentoring is simply a give and receive process, while others believe that mentoring is the same as teaching. But we know from our experience in our organization that neither of these models is quite right. That is my experience in this organization, and I want to talk to you a little bit about my own experience, and frankly, I think the thousands of others around the National Federation of the Blind in our 80-year history. Our experience, and certainly my experience, is that it takes a willing mentor and a willing mentee, and that when it works, when it really works, the giving and receiving goes both ways. The learning goes both ways. And we've been blessed in this organization to have a lot of great leaders. But what's made it effective is that they've been able to receive, to learn, to be shaped by the members of this organization. I didn't always understand that view of mentoring, that process, and what it looked like, and it didn't really appreciate it and the dynamics of it because, well, I didn't believe much in myself as a blind person. And that's the first thing that this organization did for me was give me that. So I guess in order to get there, I need to tell you a little bit about how I got there. And there are hundreds of stories I could share with you about that, and I'm going to try to keep a watch on the time here because I know we have some other things to get to this evening. I grew up in the great state of Wisconsin. Sorry, Indiana. And I did not know I was a blind person. I was diagnosed at age 5 as being legally blind from glaucoma and aniridia. So I've been blind all my life, effectively. But I didn't know I was a blind person. I just knew I couldn't see so well. And my parents, both hardworking Midwesterners, Neither of them went to college. They didn't know anything about blindness. We didn't have any experience with blindness in our family. So they did the best that they could. They relied on the professionals to help guide what I should be doing as a person that couldn't see so well. And mostly what that meant is they just sent me out to do my thing. They expected me to go out and try stuff. And that's what I did. I learned from them to work really, really hard. And that was probably the greatest asset that they could have given me. I was also just smart enough to get by. And with those two things, I was able to push through a lot of stuff. And I figured that when you can't see so well, which is where I was at, you just had to work harder. That's what you had to do. I never knew I was a blind person. You kind of think about the world as balancing a scale. On one side, you have hope and opportunity, imagination, and on the other side, fear, uncertainty, anxiety. And when I was a kid, I had a lot of hope. I was excited. I had dreams, things I wanted to do. When I got into elementary school, I was outgoing. I wanted to find out about the world. But slowly over time, that changed. The balance changed. I did all the crazy things that kids do. I rode bikes. I was just telling my mom not too long ago. I don't know if she's tuned in tonight, but about some crazy things I used to do on a park near our house on a bike. I shouldn't have told my kids what I used to do because they might try them. You know, I jumped out of windows. I have no idea why we jumped out of windows. It was a thing to do, but we did it. Rode skateboards. I don't know, played with fireworks, all sorts of stuff. But as time went on, I got the message that seeing was really important. That being able to see was really important and sometimes essential. At least that's the message I thought I got. I started reading large print books in third grade. Didn't think anything of it. I had an O&M instructor, certified orientation mobility specialist. The first time I got an evaluation, Ron will appreciate this. Now, let me say that I walked to my elementary school. Both ways, uphill, by the way, starting in first grade. I don't think I walked in kindergarten, but in first grade. So I'd been walking to and from school for at least 2 years by the time I got to third grade. And in the summers, I played on those sidewalks. I mean, I went to school 6 blocks from my house. So the orientation mobility specialist took me out and walked me around the neighborhood. Figured out I was doing pretty good. Well, of course I was doing pretty good. I walked those streets every day. I didn't even need to see where the cracks were in the sidewalk. I knew them all just from being out there. It was a really poor evaluation, but decided I didn't need training. I didn't need services. And that's how it was for me. I was always allowed a pass. In fourth grade, you know, I clearly remember the vision teacher. That's what we used to call them, you know, vision teachers. She would come by and she would help me fill out worksheets. Really, she was kind of a high-priced reader. I didn't know that at the time. She didn't work with me on what non-visual skills I might use or how I would read or what else. She helped me fill out worksheets. And I couldn't read the worksheets because they were on mimeograph. They were done on a mimeograph machine. A certain generation tuned in tonight that I'll have to look that up on Wikipedia. Nobody could read them, not even the non-blind kids. By the time I got to fifth grade, I was losing hope. I couldn't read print. I didn't know about Braille. I couldn't read the large print books anymore. And I looked around for how I was going to read, and I had a monocular. That was the only magnification system I had. And so I used the monocular to read the large print books in class. And nobody said a word. Nobody said there was a better way to do it. So day after day, week after week, I got the notion that hope wasn't something for me, that fear, anxiety was more where my scale was going to balance. Now, in sixth grade, you get interested in things like girls and football. And so I remember very clearly in sixth grade, we had to run a U-shaped pattern in gym class. And when you got to the peak of the U, you had to catch the football. And now I knew how to run, and I knew what a U was. And I knew there was a football coming my way. And so I would try, just like Charlie Brown. You know, I would try. I would run. And I'd put my hands up, and I had no chance of catching the football. My teacher sat me down because I was upset. The kids were making fun of me. And he said, "Don't worry. Someday you'll get contacts, and everything will be okay." It was a lie. And it added to my fear and anxiety. And it diminished my hope. And that's how my elementary and my middle school and into my high school experience was. And I could tell you hundreds of horror stories. I could tell you about going to prom, but I won't. It's a lot funnier in person when you actually do get to laugh at me. I didn't know what was possible. And by the way, I didn't even know there were other blind people till I got to high school. I happened to choose a high school because it specialized in business, and I thought business would be cool. I had an entrepreneurial spirit. I had enough hope to be, still want to be an entrepreneur. And I know we got a lot of blind vendors in this affiliate. So I'm with you. I'm kindred spirit in that regard. And so I chose this high school, and it happened to be they had a resource room for blind students. I didn't know what that meant. Wasn't why I picked it. But they had a teacher there. He had RP, and he ran the resource room. He had RP, but he read Braille with his eyes in the little limited range of vision he had. And so I quickly learned from him and from others that although I was around other blind kids, I wasn't like them. And I'm ashamed to admit it. I was either smarter than they were, I worked harder than all of them, or I could see better than they could, which wasn't really saying much. And so I didn't find a kindred spirit with them. And I looked up to my teacher. He was my mentor. He was my friend. He was funny. He was interesting. He let us do cool things that we weren't supposed to do. And he's actually the reason I went to the University of Wisconsin. I thought I was going to have to go to some second-rate university like Illinois or something. But he got me to realize I was smart enough to get into the University of Wisconsin. And he took me there. I was a senior in high school. The first time I saw this guy who was my mentor use a white cane. I was with him for 3 years. Never knew. The mentoring opportunities that were lost. I was sent into the University of Wisconsin with really not enough skills. I couldn't read Braille. I didn't know Braille. I didn't know what Braille was. I was offered Braille when I was a senior in high school because this radical group of blind people, the National Federation of the Blind of Wisconsin, was fighting for a Braille bill. My teacher said, you know, we can teach you Braille if you want to learn it. Now, that's not what a mentor is supposed to do. A mentor is supposed to tell you why it's important and what it'll do in your life. That didn't happen. And I had two study halls. I had worked hard to have two study halls my senior year. So I thought about it for about half a second. Do I want to learn Braille? No, can't think of a reason. So I didn't. I went to the University of Wisconsin, but I still had hope. I wanted to do things. I wanted to be part of the community. I wanted to get out and experience the world. But every time I tried, scales would tip toward fear. I had to study all of the time because I just did not have the skills to compete. So I was studying all the time, but I'd get brave and I'd say, nope, tonight I'm going out. This is the night I'm going to do it. I don't care. It's time to get out on the town. And the guys would say, we're going to a party. Do you want to come? Yep. I'm going with you. I did, by the way, get a very short cane when I graduated from high school. I didn't know what to do with it, so it sat in the closet. So when the guy said, do you want to go out? I'd say, sure. And I'd follow behind as closely as I could with looking like I could see stuff. And they would invariably take a shortcut. And the shortcut would usually go through some area like over railroad tracks or something. And I'd stumble and fall. And you know what is so funny? I would just decide, yeah, I didn't want to go anyway. I really didn't want to go. I convinced myself that I didn't want to go. I was good at it. I was good at faking it, and the person I faked the most was me. And I didn't have mentors that taught me otherwise. I didn't have mentors that pushed me. I didn't have people that told me the truth, that thought enough of me to give me the hard news that I could do better, but also that blindness wasn't the thing that was going to hold me back. And that didn't happen until I got to 1996. I had just finished my sophomore year, and I had been applying for scholarships from the National Federation of the Blind for a number of years. And luckily, I was the only applicant that year for a Wisconsin state scholarship. I don't know if it's actually true. I just like to say that. And they said, you got to get on an airplane and come to Anaheim, California to our national convention. I'd barely ever been out of Wisconsin. I'd been to Minnesota and I'd been to Illinois now and then, but I certainly hadn't flown across the country by myself. They said, you got to show up. So I got out my dusty, horrible, short white cane and I got on an airplane and I went to Anaheim, California with no mentors, little hope, but I needed money. And I showed up at the Anaheim Hilton and the scales started to instantly tip the other way. I met mentors. I met people who didn't know me. They were interested in me. They were interested in me because I was a blind person and they knew I needed what they had and they wanted to give it to me. They wanted to give me the information, the techniques, the hope, what had been given to them. They wanted to pay it forward to somebody else. And that happened with every single person I met. And not only did they want to give me the information, they helped me out. I had to get a reader, you know, to read the agenda because I couldn't read print. I couldn't read Braille. I had to get a Braille reader to read me the agenda. Every single person I met instantly became my mentor. And so I wanted to start helping out. I didn't really understand mentoring or how it worked or why, but I knew that if I was being given all this stuff that I didn't really understand yet, I needed to give back. So I jumped in, started helping out with the student division. I had ideas. I came back. I wrote a letter to the president of the National Federation of the Blind. I sent it off to Baltimore about how excited I was about all this stuff that I had never known. And darn it if I didn't get an answer a month later. And the letter said something very simple. It said, you need to learn about our organization, what we do, why we do it. And then you need to start teaching others about it. And if you do that, you'll learn something about yourself. And then once you start teaching others about the organization, start taking your ideas and putting it into the organization. Start changing the organization with your ideas. Start teaching me, is what Mark Maurer said to me just a month after I found this organization. I didn't know till much later that there was a reason for that. Mentoring. What we give to each other is the most important element that we have in this movement. Jacobus Ten Broeck, our first president, brilliant scholar of constitutional law, wrote the foundations of what has come to be every civil rights piece of legislation for people with disabilities in this nation. He had a mentor, Newell Perry, a smart blind guy who couldn't get a job, had a PhD in mathematics and could not get a job because of the discrimination that existed and the low expectations for blind people at the time. So what did he do? He took a job at the School for the Blind and dedicated his life to teaching young blind people that they can do anything they want and they can take over the world. And he taught Jacobus Ten Broeck that, and he built the most powerful organization for blind people that's ever existed, and it's still here today. And Dr. Ten Broeck mentored hundreds of people, thousands probably. He came across Kenneth Jernigan, who didn't know what possibilities there were, thought he would work in Tennessee, do a little teaching, until he met Dr. Ten Broeck, who taught him there was something more to know. And the chain of mentoring has happened like that through this organization, and it has touched all of us. I could talk to you all evening about the mentors that I've had in this organization, but I want to talk to you about why I keep it up, why mentoring is still important. Because you may look at me and say, well, it's great. You were blind early in life. It's easy for you. You've been doing this a long time now, and now you're president of the National Federation of the Blind. There's nowhere else for you to go. But that's just simply not the way mentoring works. And if 2020 has taught us anything, it should be that we all can do better, and we all can do better together. One of my mentors in this movement was Dr. Betsy Zaborowski, someone that influenced this very space I'm sitting in, even though she never even knew we were going to build it. She wasn't here for it. She was the first executive director of our Jernigan Institute, and she was one of my mentors. She died of cancer in 2007, and when she came down with cancer, our president at the time, Mark Maurer, I can't really say he asked me to be executive director. He told me I was going to be executive director. Betsy was a dynamic woman. She had a huge heart, and she believed in blind people completely, and she believed in the power of this organization because she lived it. But here's what I want you to know about Betsy. She helped engineer a program that we sparked in 2006 called the NFB Youth Slam. And I was the director of education, and she came to me and said, let's take a walk. And we walked through the members hall, which is a big 16,000 square foot ballroom that we have here in our building. And she said, we need to fill this room with blind kids. We need to have the largest gathering of blind people that's ever existed. I said, okay, I take that as an order. And we put together the NFB Youth Slam, which has completely transformed the way we think about impacting youth in this country and mentoring. Never been done before. And blind people turned out from all corners of the Federation. Certainly blind people that had no business wanting to spend a week in a college dorm with high school students. But why they do it? Because of what this movement has given them and what mentors have given to them in their life. And shortly after that was the last time I got to spend time with Betsy in this building. And she came by my office, which had been her office, and she said, you got it all figured out? And I said, oh yeah, got it all figured out. She looked across the desk at me and said, don't worry, I didn't have it all figured out either. You will. She understood something that I didn't understand then, but I do understand now, that the faith that we have in each other, the ability to know each other in a real way, and the love that we have to not only share with each other, but learn from each other. Grow together and trust that we'll grow in a way that is going to make this organization proud. That's the faith we have. That's the element that we have that, frankly, I don't think there are many other organizations and movements out there that have that, at least that I've been a part of. And that's why I'm here this evening, because I need you. I need your imagination, your talents, your diversity to keep improving me. And we've already experienced at this convention some of my favorite people in this organization. I'm not going to name them because I know I'm going to miss somebody. But take, for example, Jean Brown. Now, you all know Jean Brown, and her husband's okay, too. Jean Brown's husband, you know. And Micah Ball. I could tell you stories about Micah Ball when she first came to one of our science programs, but it would be better in person. so many people. And even though we're socially distanced, even though we have to do this virtually where we can't slap each other on the back and we can't laugh in the way that we want to from trying to find the stupid ballroom and taking the wrong turn or whatever it is, I know that this gathering gives the feeling of love, hope, and faith that we share in this movement. And there's so much more we need to do together. And that's why I keep showing up. My son Austin was born in 2006. And my daughter Oriana was born in 2010. Now, I had been working on the education of blind children by that time for about 10 years. It's my 20th year of working in the field. And I went to pick Oriana up. They checked her out. And they said, you know, on Monday, this was a Saturday, on Monday, we want you to go see a pediatric ophthalmologist because Oriana's eyes don't respond as they should. And my heart stopped. Not because of blindness, but because I knew what to do about that. But because I remembered how it felt when the scales were tipped the other way. I remembered the weight of that feeling, and I didn't want that for Oriana. And I realized how much work we still had to do, and I had been doing it for 10 years, and it didn't feel like it was better. And so I doubled down on this organization and what we need to do together. And I have been blessed and surprised every time I do that, because I get back, as hard as I work, as much as I try to put in, I always get back more than I expect. And I'm not looking to get back. I'm looking to give back. But at every turn, I'm blessed and surprised. That's why I keep showing up. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you were blind at age 5 like me, or if you went blind yesterday and you're 55. This journey is the same. And if you contribute to this movement, you'll have the same experience. And we can see things get better together. And we can be better together. And that is an amazing experience. And I'm inviting you tonight to continue on that journey with me. Not just for me and not just for you, for my daughters, Oriana and Elizabeth, for all the other blind kids that are coming up and struggling with the stupid technologies that aren't accessible, for all of the people that are turning 18 this year who are blind and can't vote because the politicians are interested in people not voting rather than making the vote available to everybody. And I really want to call upon you to recognize what we can do when we bond together in this community to build something we have never before imagined. Like the space I'm in here today. We bought this warehouse building 40 some years ago. The Federation was broke, and now we've remodeled it for the second time in 40 years into one of the most beautiful spaces in any building in Baltimore. That's all from the love, hope, and determination that we have in this organization. And it's an example of what we're going to do together. I'm sitting here in history, Dr. Maurer and his influence, Dr. Jernigan and his influence, Dr. Tenbrook's fire tools over here, Diane and Ray McGeorge have built the Colorado Center for the Blind, and so many other people. The big question is, what are we going to do? This has been handed to us. What are we going to do with it? One interesting thing about new spaces is the lights. So if you sit still long enough, they go out. what are we going to do with it? We get to decide. And I hope you're going to come be part of it. I hope you're going to walk on this journey with me to imagine what we're going to do next. I don't know about you, but when I think about 2020 and all of the stuff, the thing that gives me hope, energy, and love is participating in the National Federation of the Blind, because my expectations are raised. And I get to celebrate the realization of our dreams with you. So I appreciate being here tonight, the opportunity to talk to you about a couple of my mentors. I could talk for a long time about others. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be mentored by you, to be shaped by you in the work that you're doing in this organization. And as your elected president, that I take that seriously. And I'm forever grateful for what you're doing and for the commitments I know you're going to make to this movement going forward. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I know we have some other things to do tonight, so I'm going to leave it there and say, please join me on this journey. Help to shape what I'm doing. Allow me the blessing of giving whatever knowledge and experience I have to shaping you. And let's go build the National Federation of the Blind. Thank you.
Excellent presentation, sir. Three cheers to you. Excellent.
Thank you so much, President Riccobono. That was incredible. Hope you enjoy your pie.
That's right. I got to have some pie, don't I?
Well, I was really encouraged by that, and I hope everybody else was. I'd love to hear that prom story. I'll have to write that down, that I'll have to hear that prom story from you next time. Sometime in person.
There you go.
Wow. That was great. Well, I'd say we go for another door prize.
I think that deserves one, Christopher.
Let's go for it. All right, Micah.
Yay. All right.
I noticed you didn't want to hear the Micah stories. That's...
I do want to hear the Micah stories.
Exactly.
There was a dragon.
There was a dragon.
There was a dragon.
Yeah, I think it was a lion, but you know.
Was it a lion? You know what? I would love to give this next door prize to Daniel Tiger, because he's really the VIP in this house right now. but since he didn't register for our convention, I'm going to give it to Patrina Pendarvis. Patrina Pendarvis, you have the same half hour to raise your hand or email me or text me, and I'll put my contact information in the chat once again.
Patrina is the state president of Mississippi, you guys.
Oh, I think I saw NFB of Alabama was also on here.
Yeah.
I know we had Georgia earlier in the day.
Is that Arizona?
I'm seeing a number of leaders.
Colorado,
from different
Scott
affiliates.
LaBar was on.
Yep. Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Terry Rupp, I think, from Nevada.
Nevada, yes, sir.
Yeah. This is great. We've got a whole national audience here. Well, let's try another question. Actually, this time let's try a different one. Let's do it a little differently as from before, but this is just to these are just fun quotes that I think kind of bring back some NFB history for us. So here's another quote, and we'll have anybody who wants to raise your hand at the end to try to guess who this is, just like we did before. No door prize on this one, just trying to increase are just having some fun with it. So in the not too distant past, those things that might be expected of blind people were almost entirely... Oh no, I lost my place. Hang on. Perfect timing.
Delaware is here. All right, Delaware.
In the not too distant past, the things that might have been expected of blind people were almost entirely predictable and repetitive, known before they occurred. However, some of us have broken the old system, and we intend to break it further. Some of us intend to embrace chaos, to create results that have never been imagined until we put our minds and our hearts to the effort. The name that I have for these intrepid individuals is the, quote, organized blind movement. So who do we think was the, okay, I think we've got one. We've got a raised hand from Alex.
Alex.
Go for it, Alex.
Jacobus Tenbrook?
Good guess, but nope. I'll give you three choices, and I'll make it fair to you, Alex. Why don't you jump back on, unmute here? The choices here are A, Mark Maurer, B, Newell Perry, or C, Mark Riccobono. All right, Alex, go for it.
There you are.
Mark Maurer.
Good guess. Ding, 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 ding. All right, good. Well, we've got a couple more people lined up, so let's try another quote. This is another one, Name the Federation Leader. This one's a bit quirkier, but it's from a very famous Federation speech. So here we go. Let me begin by giving you a purely hypothetical and very fanciful situation. Imagine that somewhere in the world there exists a civilization in which people without hair, that is the bald, are looked down upon and rigidly set apart from everyone else by virtue of their distinguishing physical characteristics. If you can accept this fanciful fantasy for a moment, it is clear that at least two kinds of organization would come into being dedicated to serve the interests of these unfortunate folk. So we're talking about the bald. This is the hypothetical society of the bald. Who do we think that could be?
Tyler Shirk has his hand up.
Okay, let me see if I had choices for this one. Okay, choices for this one, and I'll give them out. Well, we've got four people lined up. Let's try it without the choices and see how they do.
Tyler.
Yeah. Go for it, Tyler.
Dr. Jernigan.
Incorrect.
Paul Howard.
President Riccobono.
Nope. Keep it going. Okay, I'll throw out a couple choices here.
Let them keep going, Chris.
Okay, all right.
7881.
Your 7881 number on mute.
Dr. Mark Maurer.
Good guess, but no, it is not.
I think Dorothy Griffin had her hand raised from Georgia.
Yep.
If I give you, I'll give you a hint. The name of the speech is "Within the Grace of God."
I was taking my hand down. Sorry.
Not gonna guess.
Okay, Nancy Burris.
Go for it, Nancy.
No, because I was gonna say Mark, so I was wrong.
Okay, 1956 is when this one was when this one came out.
6441. Unmute yourself.
Jacobus Tenbrook.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding.
Susan. Go, Susan.
Very good. Well, there we go. Okay, so I would say with that, we can go ahead and jump to our next speaker. Our next speaker is, I believe, Diane Graves with the Scholarship Committee is up next. So. All right. Welcome, Diane Graves, ADA coordinator. I'm sorry. I've got it all written down here. I can actually introduce you. So Diane Graves, ADA mediator for the Indiana Civil Rights Commission and also our scholarship chairperson. Welcome.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Let's take a moment and honor our scholars. As those of you who were attending the board meeting will know, we have three excellent candidates this year. Let me backtrack for a minute. I want to give a shout out to the Newsline team, to Lee Martin, because they were able to help us acquire a bit more scholarship funding than we had otherwise. So thank you so much for that. We really appreciate that. So I'll do just a quick recap of our candidates here, and then I'll tell you who our lucky winner are. We have Sarah LaRose, and Sarah is she is in biblical studies, pursuing her PhD at Gateway University in California. They're watching movies in there. I'm sorry, guys. we have Jack Filetic, and Jack is studying systems technology, computer technology at Ball State University. And then we have Donna Williams, and Donna is going to be pursuing a degree in psychology and social work at the University of Indianapolis. So Sarah's been with us for a good while. So most of you know her, and Donna and Jack are both budding Federationists, I think. So these are all amazing candidates, and what we have decided to do as a committee is make a sizable investment in all three of our candidates this year. So we have a total, including the Newsline incentive, we have a total of $1,800. So what we're going to do is split that three ways and give each of our candidates a scholarship of $600. So congratulations, guys. What I want to do now is give them each a chance, just a few seconds to speak. And so let's go ahead and start with Sarah LaRose. And Sarah will be calling in from 9808, I believe she said it was. Do you want to raise your hand, Sarah, if you can? Fine. You find her?
Not seeing her.
No hands yet.
No hands yet?
9804.
9804. Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry. That's Sarah.
Try unmuting yourself, Sarah. There you go.
Okay. Am I unmuted now?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep, yes, you are.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. I want to say thank you for your support. I have enjoyed all of my time in the Federation and will continue to do so. I appreciated what Dr. Riccobono said, of what President Riccobono said about mentoring. My story is a little bit different, but mentoring has played a very important part of my life, and especially because I'm working in a field that is difficult. So I especially appreciate the scholarship because it will assist me in continuing to work in this field and to continuing mentoring others.
Great. Thank you so much for that, Sarah. Okay, let's hear from Jack. Jack Bletchik.
He's already there. She-
and his
can everyone hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good. Congratulations, Sarah, first of all. And apparently the movie was apparently very angry about her.
Yes.
So I hope that the movie does not get too angry that she won. I have been honored 2 for 2 this year. 2 for 2. This is my second year at the convention. I am absolutely bored. I am glad this is going to help a lot in my education for computer information systems. And as Rick Miller was saying, paying it forward for a career to better the world and accessibility and everything like that. So thank you again for the scholarship. I gave my dad a quick call before. I think he wants 599 of it, but that's okay.
Oh my goodness.
Good job.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for that, Jack, and and tell your dad you'll pay him back.
Yeah, in Subway sandwiches, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and hear from Donna Williams. And Donna is 0578 number.
I think her hand is up.
Yep, I'm on. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much.
Hey, Donna.
It's been a pleasure working with you, and congrats, Sarah and Jack, and getting to know you guys. Laurent, you did an awesome job with the opening prayer. He and I went to Bosma together. And to everybody, Ron, I mean, all of you are amazing, and it's been an awesome couple days, and I'm thrilled to be a part of this, and I'm humbled, and I thank you all for the help as I return to school, and I think most of you had heard that I was in school to obtain my bachelor's in nursing when my eyes fell apart and I couldn't finish. And so my only child's now in college, and when I went through voc rehab and Bosma and deciding what I wanted to do, my biggest goal was to achieve my bachelor's degree in hearing about mentoring and all of that. And that's exactly right. And that's one, that's what I want to get back and to help guide and help others who need it. Where to go and what they need and how to do it. So I can't thank you all for the stories and how inspiring you all are. And we rule. Blind people rule, let me tell you. We're all, so thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Donna. And congratulations to all of our scholarship winners. I know that we're going to see great things from all of them. So I will get the address to Micah, and she should be, I assume she'll be sending those checks out to you guys. So we'll get that taken care of, you know, just as quickly as we can after we wrap up here within the next week or so. So congratulations once again. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Christopher Meyer.
All right. All right. Wow, what a scholarship class this year.
Mr. Chairman, or Master of Ceremony, I'd like to make a statement.
Yes, sir. President Brown.
So to our scholarship recipients, Donna, Jack, and Sarah, the funding that we give to you is important, and it is great to have. But what we give to you most important is the gift of our organization. This gift cannot be bought, cannot be classified in monetary value. This is a gift of lifetime gift that keeps on giving. And we offer you guys membership in our organization to help us, as you have heard all weekend, fight the good fight. I hope that you guys will join us on the barricades and help us continue doing the work of our organization. Thank you so much, and good luck to you and your scholarship endeavors. Take care.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that this is what an opportunity for each one of you, not just to receive this scholarship, but to receive any mentoring, any kind of advocacy support, any ways that you can grow. There's so much that you can take away from this experience, and whether you've been a Federationist this is your first virtual convention, or you've been to a dozen of them. So just really a shout out to you guys for what an incredible scholarship class this year. All right. I think that we are, with that, I'd say we're ready for another door prize if we're not fighting with Daniel Tiger in the background.
Oh, we don't fight with Daniel Tiger. We thank Daniel Tiger for all of his efforts in allowing my attendance at this convention. So with that, our next door prize winner is James Hamrick. James Hamrick, raise your hand, text me, send me an email, and I'm happy to send you some money.
Let's see if you're out there. All right. Well, we are cruising right along and doing well, and I hope everyone out there is feeling full. I know I did. All I had was a bowl of cereal and some yogurt before this, so I'm going to be getting myself some kind of warm dinner afterwards. But I hope all of you are staying, you know, enjoying this time. Let's go next to we've got we've got Lee Martin with an introduction and to a tribute to some past NFB members. President Martin is the Circle City chapter president. He's also the director of our NFB Newsline of Indiana program, and we have a lot to thank him for his leadership there. And finally, I just wanted to acknowledge him as a former Janssen Award recipient, which the Janssen Award is just so you guys know, it's an award that we give out named for our second president of the affiliate, who was an incredible leader to our organization in moving us forward in the early days of the NFB of Indiana. So President and Chairperson Lee Martin, it's all you.
Okay, am I unmuted?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All righty. Just want to thank you once again for all that you do, Christopher. And supposed to give a tribute. Michael, are you going to play that as we recorded it, or how you want to do that?
Yes, I've got five people, you, Tammy, and I even read an obit. So whenever you're ready, we'll be glad to play that. It's about 8 minutes.
Okay. Well, I just want to say the individuals that we're in memorial of today and have gone on, but we still miss them. We still love them. And I know their spirits are with us. So if you would just go ahead and play those, I would certainly appreciate it.
Tammy Hollingsworth remembers Francis C. Ricks, who we knew as Frank.
We met one day, and this is probably 3 or 4 years ago, at one of our Indiana conventions where we were learning how to better use our iPhones. I happened to be sitting next to him, and his comment was, "I think I should just throw it against the wall."
We are all gathered here in the name of the Lord, so let's open with a word of prayer, if you would, please. Bow your head. We thank you that you're such a wonderful God and that you love us more than we could ever know. God, we all need your mercy and your grace, and we thank you that you extend that to us every day. Every day is a gift of life. We thank you and we ask all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
He and I started talking and I began to teach him how to use his iPhone. We really had a good time doing that. It led into a friendship where a lot of times we would go out for dinner, Chris and I and Frank, and we just got to know each other a lot better through that student-teacher relationship. And although Frank struggled a lot of times to learn what he was working on, it was really hard for him. It was slow going, but he was perseverant and he never gave up. And he, from the time he started working on the iPhone where he could barely dial a phone number, he was able to send emails. He was able to use his text messaging.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
But now the days have come. I'm in the autumn of the year. And now I think of my life as vintage wine of old contrecakes. From the brim to the dregs, it poured sweet and clear. It was a very good year.
It was a pleasure working with him, getting to know him, and he just was a blessing for me.
Lee Martin remembers Kim Winter.
My memory of Sister Kim Winters. Miss Winters was such a jolly, educated woman. She was a real sister at heart. She was a believer. She always had her Bible with her, but she was always willing to come down to earth and have a lot of fun. She brought a lot of spirit, even though she was in a wheelchair, lost so much sight that she learned to conquer that and still was a student at her demise. She would cook during the holidays, and I always had an invite. And did I love her food and her cooking? And she would just set the table as it was for kings and queens. We're going to miss her and all the love and all the encouragement that she possessed. So, Kim Winters, thank you.
Bishop Daryl D. Robinson, 1956 to 2020. Born in Gary, Indiana, Daryl Robinson received his Bachelor of Arts and Master's in Science and Education from Purdue Calumet University in Hammond, Indiana, and was awarded an honorary doctorate in pastoral counseling from the Bible Institute of America in Chicago. Daryl was employed by Lake County government in Crown Point, Indiana, as a licensed mental health technician. Daryl accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior in 1993 and was licensed as a minister in 1996. He received bishopship in 2005 and was ordained in Chicago in 2009. Bishop Robinson and his wife co-founded Tabernacle of Praise Ministries, Incorporated, where he served as a pastor until God called him home. Tammy Hollingsworth remembers Tammy Jones.
I met Tammy Jones years and years ago when my husband actually went to the Minneapolis convention in, I think, 1982. And he came back as a senior in high school, or I was a senior at that time. And he said that he had met someone just like me, and her name was Tammy, too. And so I thought that was really interesting. But later, when I went to college, I actually met Tammy because we had a prom for the students at the School for the Blind in Michigan, and I was asked to escort one of the students who didn't have a date. And so I went, and I didn't know what to do because I didn't have any kind of formal wear or anything. So someone suggested that I contact Tammy. I met her. We discovered that she was the Tammy who knew my husband. And of course, she had all kinds of formal wear because she was very involved in the NFB. We always seemed to end up at the same banquet table. And the thing that Tammy always used to say is, she'd say, "This is the Tammy and Tammy show, because if someone would call out Tammy, both of us would answer. Whenever someone asked us a question, we'd both say yes or huh. And so it was kind of a running joke with the two of us. So Tammy was always a very busy person. She was constantly counting money or spending money or handing out something to somebody to take money.
This is going to be my last report, and that's fine. I know Micah Bott is going to do a wonderful job as treasurer. In terms of the two major fundraisers at this convention, you already heard last night that the 50-50 raffle was won by a lady named Denise Jessup, who may or may not be a Federationist, but she wasn't here at the convention, but she seemed like she was a little, once she realized it was, she was happy. And she's going to be getting $1,900. In terms of the progressive auction last night with the baskets, Ron Brown added a few extra dollars to it so that we rounded up the total for that to $1,100.
Always very, very busy doing the business of the Federation.
Lee Martin remembers Anthony T.J. Wilson.
I first met Anthony T.J. Wilson Jr. He goes by T.J. When I first met T.J., he was a client at Bosma Enterprises. He became involved with the National Federation of the Blind and became a member of the Circle City chapter. T.J. attended many of our meetings. He became an activist with the Federation. He enjoyed sharing his musical talents. He, without question, will bring his band to any event that we would have. And honestly, played great music. He played at our NFB Newsline Indiana television show. He also played at our Circle City chapter, Angel Child, Indiana Service. He was a religious man. He was an honest guy. And at his demise, it was really sad. It really saddened the chapter. And it's still sad as we remember Anthony T.J. to his friends and to his chapter. We miss you, and may you rest in peace.
We pay tribute to these and others who gave of their time and talents to improve the quality of life for our blind brothers and sisters through their support of the National Federation of the Blind. Let us remember their work and contributions, and let us be reminded that no one is promised tomorrow. Let us make the most of each day.
What a wonderful tribute.
Yeah, that was so, good.
Thank you very much, Michael. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, is there any other ways that you'd like to wrap up your just sharing with the any other? I'd love to hear.
I want to give Chris Tyler, I believe Shirk wanted an opportunity to speak a little bit on Frank, his friend, mentor, and anyone else in the audience that we got a few minutes that want to share expressions of love for any of these folks, Federationists that's gone on. Raise your hand.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Okay, I have Alex Gillen here with me. I won't be long. I first met Frank Ricks in 2009 at the NFB convention in Detroit, my first NFB convention, and he went alongside me and showed me the ropes and showed me what to do. And but right then, I kind of knew that even though he might have been opinionated at times, you knew where you stood with him, and I couldn't have asked for a better friend. When we tried to do the chapter up here in Fort Wayne, we'd spend the weekends just talking. He was like the grandfather that I never had, and we would spend the weekends listening to the oldie shows, 50s and 60s music, and he would tell me the stories of when he was in bands. Just priceless memories that I will never forget, and the dinners I've spent with him. And so, Alec, do you have anything you want to add?
Yes, I'll try to make this quick. I first, well, obviously mine is parallel with Tyler, but I roomed with Frank in 2015 at National Convention, and we kept it up all these years. And I have to admit, I'm going to miss hearing, come on, you guys, General Sessions will be in 30 minutes. You guys still aren't up? And I guess one of my biggest takeaways, he was a loyal friend. He was a loyal friend. And he came down along with Tyler to my birthday last year. And although none of us could have realized it, it was the one and only time that Frank could come to my house. And we were planning for him to come this summer. If there was one thing he really enjoyed when we were talking, it was we'd be talking on the iPhone. I'd be sitting on the swing outside, and it was the sound of tree frogs and crickets. He loved the country. He would call it God's country.
Amen.
I miss you, Frank.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. All right. Do we have anyone else?
Susan Jones.
Susan Jones.
Yeah, I wanted to share about Tammy Jones. She was actually a very, very hard worker in the earlier days of the Federation. She was known as Tammy Dodd Jones, and this was before she moved to Indiana, and even sometime after, she was, I think, the head of the Tenbrook Committee, and they always had the elegant elephant sale at the National Convention, and then she came to Indiana, and I remember getting to know her and just being surprised at what a down-to-earth person she was. And then she became our treasurer, and she just worked incredibly hard. And she just, like Tammy Hollingsworth, she had incredible organizational skills and ideas about how to label things and how to organize them and how to separate them and how to... Anyway, I remember many Saturday morning breakfasts at Indiana conventions with her, either writing resolutions, and then I remember a Sunday morning breakfast when she said, come on to breakfast with me, I've got to count all this money, bring your bill identifier and let's work together on this. So we had memories together. And also for many, many years, our scholarship committee was two Joneses and two Tammys. So it was Tammy Jones and Tammy Hollingsworth, and since my last name is Jones, Tammy Jones and me. So it was, we were the triumvirate for several years. And I have many fond memories of her. I got to go up to her funeral, and Jennifer and Al Pining were also there. And just a wonderful person. Just so many wonderful things to remember about her.
Thank you so much, Susan.
Anybody else real quick? Nancy Burris.
Yes.
Tam Jam, get your Tam Jam. That's how I met Tammy, was at one of the conventions, and she kept hollering, and I asked what that was, and I think it was Tammy told me, oh, she has the best jam. You've got to get some. And I did, and I fell in love with it. My other thing I'd like to say is I knew Frank Ricks when I was a kid. Him, Mark Maurer, Jernigan, Joe Money, my mom and my dad would all come to my house. They were all part of the NFB Fort Wayne chapter. Or if they weren't in Fort Wayne, they met there. And they would meet at our house just about every other weekend, it seemed like. So I really knew him for a long, long time. And I do miss him. He was funny. He could play music. And he was just a wonderful person. So, thank you.
Auntie, I think your dad was one of our presidents and state presidents back then. Richard. All right. So that's going to bring us to...
President. One other person.
Oh, we need one other person.
Rita Strickland. And, okay. I know you have some good fables about Rita. You want to share any of those? I don't know if Mamie Mason was online or not, but, Rita Strickland passed away last year. And, you probably knew her a lot better than I did, but as I know her, she's always on Ron Brown. So, I remember when she went into her wheelchair and things started to demise a little bit, but she was a unique Federation, as I would say. And
she was, and Rita kept me on my toes, that's for sure. She always admonished me when she thought I wasn't doing something right. So, I knew Rita actually in high school prior to losing my vision, and she was a really good person. She was also strict in her beliefs, and she would let you know it. And so she would call me up on the phone and just say, now listen, Ron, I need to tell you something that you're not doing. And so I'm like, okay, Mama Rita. So she had a lot of illness later in life, and Rita was a good person. I'm truly going to miss her as well. I won't keep up too much longer. I want to get some others in here to say a couple other things, and then we're going to move on. Who has their hand up?
3-2-3-1.
3-2-3-1. Okay.
Okay. This is Tony on Jim's phone, because I am currently doing something on my phone at the present. But I wanted to speak on Daryl Robinson.
Okay.
And the best memory I have of Daryl Robinson, for those of you that knew him, he was a dynamic speaker, and he was a very quiet, humble, but strong speaker as a minister and as a friend. And what I remember best about him was him taking my son onto his lap and making up child stories to keep Terrence entertained. And it was just amazing. And Terrence really loved him for that. And I really wanted him to be acknowledged like that. And as far as the others go, I love them all, each and every one.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tony. All right, guys.
And Paul Howard. Paul Howard.
Yes. I'm going to speak briefly on Daryl Robinson, who I've known for several years. He became a member of our Northwest chapter when I was president back in the 90s. And we established a annual fundraiser, which was our annual gospel program. He was the first individual that emceed our program. And he was a dynamic speaker and even more of a dynamic singer. He was very much of a kind and loving individual. I would run into Daryl on my way home from work. He would be coming in from Crown Point on the bus sitting across from me. And he always knew when I stepped on the bus, we would always greet one another and exchange pleasantries. I was deeply saddened to hear of his passing this past spring due to the virus, along with many others. But he was a good man. He was providing counseling services to convicts in the county jail in Crown Point. He helped my wife and I out with our son, periodically providing counseling services when he was dealing with hard times. He was a true man of heart, good individual. And remembering Frank and Tammy, good memories from all of them.
Thank you, Paul. All right. Let's see. Lee, you want to wrap it up? And
well, I just want to say that Michael said it best. The next day, the next breath is really not promised to us. And as Federationists and just as human beings, we must all keep that in mind. And we must remain kind, loving, and encouraging of one another through our daily lives and through our daily tasks. Thank you very much for this moment, a memory, and I'll turn it back over to you, President Brown.
All right, Christopher.
Yep.
You got anything else you want to say before we move on to
two more door prizes, and I'd love to give those out, and I'd love to give one of those out, especially in memory of these our friends and Federation family who were not here with us. So let's give one out in honor of them first.
All right.
Let's see who we've got. Micah.
All right. Our next door prize recipient, hopeful recipient, is Byron Austin. Byron, go ahead and raise your hand or text me or email me. Byron Austin.
And we're coming up on the end of the evening, so these things are going to start flying if you don't raise your hand. I'm not sure how late Micah's going to take those text messages. It's 8:34. So there might be a 9 p.m. cutoff or something.
30 minutes after the end of our meeting or 30 minutes after your prize is announced.
All right. Well, she's very generous. All right. Well, let's try one more, and we'll do a little fun one here with the to get us ready for President Brown and for his for whatever he's got ready for us. So let's do one more door prize, but let's do it with another one of those questions. The question here is President Brown our 7th, 8th, or 9th state president of the Indiana affiliate? And let's go for raised hands again.
All right. Tyler Shirt.
Sounds like we've got a number of them. Got a lot of raised hands. Go ahead, Tyler.
I'm going to go 9th.
9th president. All right. Well, kind of, but we'll have to hold off on that one. I'll say not quite.
Okay, Sarah Meyer.
Oh, no, this is a family member. This might not look good if you answer correctly. It might not look right. Go for it, Sarah. Do you think 7th or 8th president?
Unmute yourself, Sarah. Oh,
sorry, it took me a second to actually get that request. I'm going to guess 8th.
All right. Well, we'll count it. Ding, ding, ding.
So here's the thing is that Joe Money was president for about 1 year during after I can't remember the exact order of it. I think it was after Ron Mathias, I think was his name. And anyway, so if you don't count Joe's second term there, then Ron would be the eighth president. So with that, we'll turn it over to an incredible leader and an incredible friend and mentor of mine, just someone that I look up to and have had as an incredible leader and someone to turn to for about a decade now. And I'm incredibly grateful to introduce him to you. Here is President Ron Brown.
Thank you, Christopher. Thank you. Great job tonight. I will give you a virtual hand clap because that was a wonderful job you put on. Also, I want to say to all of my Federation family that this has been an excellent convention, but the fun has not stopped because our capable treasurer has some more fun stuff to give away. And before I give away the last door prize, we're going to hear parting remarks from our national president. But our fun stuff is that we still have a fundraising opportunity. Remember, you guys, we said if you put $20 in the basket, then your name goes in however many 20s you put in the pot. Well, we have a $100 gift card waiting on someone, and we also have a $50 second place card. So to our capable exchequer, Micah Ball, what do you have for us?
All right. I'm going to give the second place prize winner away first. And of those who donated, the winner for that is going to be Scott Garris. Scott Garris.
Yay. All right, Scotty.
One of our capable vendors. And
he's the newly elected president of the Merchants Division this convention. So go, Scott. You're going to need it. All right, Micah, go ahead.
All right, congrats to Scott. And our grand prize winner is Miss Jean Brown, our First Lady of Indiana. So congrats to you, Jean.
Oh, my God. Jean Brown wins a $100 Amazon gift card. All right, well.
And that's for Jean Brown, not Ron Brown.
Oh, dang. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. All right.
Scott has his hand raised for a second. Uh-oh, go ahead and unmute yourself, Scott.
Well, he might be claiming his prize.
Yeah, he might be.
Yeah, he doesn't have to raise his hand to claim that one. That one was from a donation. Yeah. So
Jean raised her hand, too. You guys don't need to raise your hands to claim that prize. You just get that one.
Good
Thank
deal.
Thank you for your
Thank
donation.
You.
We appreciate it.
At least they follow procedure.
Yeah. Jane, did you want to say anything? She's saying thank you, screaming it out to me, but she can't hear you guys. All right, so that's a good deal. So thank you guys for contributing to the fundraiser. Every little bit helps in the organization. How much money did we raise off that fundraiser, Micah? If she can't unmute, I'll tell you.
Yep, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I apologize for that. My muting skills, they go south after about 8:30. So we raised $400 on that raffle. So I appreciate everybody who donated, and that money will certainly go to good use in the affiliate.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. Thank you all for participating. All right. We're coming to the end of our convention, and I want to give our national rep time for some closing remarks if he wants them. It's your baby, President Riccoboni. Take it away.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate that. I think I've said all I need to say. I appreciate what's happening in Indiana, and I appreciate everybody getting together. I was so wrapped up in the conversation. I haven't tried the pie yet. Still sitting here. So I will do that. I will do that. I'm sure it's great, and I appreciate the gesture. I look forward to being together with all of you at our national convention, whatever together looks like, and I appreciate the warmth and the spirit of this gathering. And Ron, I continue to appreciate your mentorship and leadership on our national board, and so blessings to everybody in Indiana, and I hope that everybody enjoys the remainder of the weekend.
Thank you, sir. Thank Thank you very much. This has been a great convention, you all. I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you and thank you and thank you to our tech team. This is our first virtual convention, and it has went off without a hitch for the most part. I really, really enjoy all the hard work. Mike Love, Chris Hollingsworth, Lee Martin, Tammy Hollingsworth, all of you guys put in, LaRon, everybody, what a team effort. You know, I always say, and you always hear me say it all the time on the baseball field, teamwork makes the dream work. And in this case, teamwork makes our dream work in the National Federation of the Blind. So we are going to draw, if our capable exchequer is still here with us, we are going to draw for the last door prize. Generally, I would tell you guys that the convention was over and keep this $50 in my pocket, but I won't do that since I'm not here with you. I'll just let her draw so somebody can raise their hand real quick and get this $50 and we can close out.
Now, President Brown, would you be opposed if I doubled that?
Ooh, I would never be opposed to doubling money. So then a lot of you guys can start signing off now, except for me, and you can double that.
Well, with your permission, you know, we're going to give everybody a minute to leave so that the pool's smaller.
Absolutely.
No. I'm happy to give away the last $100 here, and that's actually going to go to Abby Fleener. Abby
Fleener.
Oh,
yes. Are you serious?
Awesome, Abby. She's at one of our tech team.
Oh, yes, gosh, yes.
Awesome. Wow.
Well deserved, Abby.
Awesome.
Is she here?
She did not sign off early, I hope.
She can't raise her hand, so her voice will have to do.
Yeah, she's here. She spoke up.
Oh, she spoke up. Okay.
Abby. Did it unmute me? Did it unmute me?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow. That's awesome. Like me.
Yes, you are, Abby. You're awesome.
I am so looking forward to doing more in the Federation, and I
We have the work for you to do, Abby. Trust me.
you guys have my contact info. Put me to work.
All righty. Gotcha.
I'm ready.
You send money first, and then we will.
There you go. On that note, guys, thank you so much for putting on a wonderful convention. I look forward to being with you all next year. Go out and get some rest, and this convention is adjourned.